Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back with the Believe You Me podcast. And I am a very smug and happy. And listen, nothing's changed. Michael Bisping, I still have the same knowledge that I knew last week, but I'm just vindicated. Now, we're going to get into all that stuff later, but Luis J. Gomez, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing pretty damn good. I'm fine.
Well, you're about to get a lot less better.
Because I owe you $100.
You're going to Apple Pay me $100 right
now.
Oh,
did you get Apple Pay?
I've told my wife to just do it right now because, listen, you want to make those bets, you got to pay the piper. Rebecca, Apple Pay. We'll wait for her to come back. But listen, you ain't getting off big time mobile.
I'm going to send you the $100 right now. I try to double the fucking bet. You're dumb for not doubling it.
I don't want to take your money. It wasn't even a bet. It was a dead fire search. It was a sure thing. Ben Askren can't fucking box. We'll get into the fight later. That was a done deal. But obviously, I was commentating real fight sports on ESPN, so I couldn't watch it. I did watch the highlight of the clip. So, well, in fact, the full fight when I got home. But throughout the night, and as I said, we'll get into the technical stuff later, but throughout the night, I was on a group chat with a bunch of people, and all they were talking about, 100 to who?
To you.
I don't have Apple Pay.
You got to download it.
Oh, so will that be there, like,
I gave
historically?
I gave him 95 because I didn't give him
95. Because last time he sends me 5, he sends me 95. No, you owe me $5. Bro, you owe me $5 because you sent me 5 and then you bet me 100.
That is actually true. God damn it.
It's 100% true. So $5, please. keep it, you know, buy a coffee, you know, maybe read a book with it, you know, maybe get a book of fight.
That's how dumb Michael Bisping is. He thinks you read books with money.
No, you can buy a book with money and then you read it. And then maybe next time your pick might be better. No, as I was saying, I was on a group chat and I was trying to glance down.
Who was on the group chat? Can you say?
They're just a bunch of mates. You know what I mean? Nobody you'd know. The people that run Fight Club, that Instagram page for Playline, all the contributors on there. There's about 50 contributors on there. They run a bunch of pages. And they're all just chatting away. And I glanced down now and again, and all it was oh my God, this is a shit show. This is a joke. Can you believe what Pete Davidson just did? Snoop Dogg just did that. And I was like, whilst even though I'm watching world-class stuff, I'm like, it sounded so bad, I kind of wanted to see it. So how was it from your perspective?
So I didn't watch the whole show. I was in Tampa. Shout out to everyone who came out. A lot of believers been coming out in Florida. A lot of believers in Florida. Florida's a very strange place to be, but thank you guys for supporting. My late show started at 10:30, so I didn't get out until, I thought I was going to miss the fight. I got out at like 11:45, and I was like, shit, I'm going to miss this thing. That fight didn't even start till 12:45. I had an hour. That was the main event. So I ran back to my hotel, and I ended up just watching a little bit of the co-main event and then the main event. So what I noticed that was a shit show, number one, the commentating team, it was just a joke. You know, and here's the thing, like, if Triller and they're trying to do this Fight Club thing, they're trying to... Like, if you want to push Jake Paul as a real boxer and this is a real promotion, just book a couple good commentators that are gonna add to the legitimacy of what's going on. Call it like it is. Get people at home to be engaged because it was literally just a joke. Pete Davidson smoking weed the whole time up there. And I know Pete's awesome, you know, but he's not a sports commentator.
He doesn't sound awesome. He sounds like a cunt, if I'm honest.
He's blowing does. Smoke.
Look who's at him. What a wanker. Blowing smoke in his face to who's that?
I think that guy's like a very accredited.
Yeah, no. I forget his name. He's a legit boxing commentator. What a cunt. What a dickhead for doing that. Number one, I have a bit of respect for your elders. You know what I mean? The guy doesn't smoke weed. Secondly, he's a legit boxing commentator. He's trying
to
do
the only person
job.
At the table that knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. And then you got Snoop Dogg and Pete Davidson doing that. Listen, I'm all for a good time. Fair play. You know what we're like on this podcast, we get a little bit silly, but I would never.
You don't
do
know
that.
What we're like when we're not on the podcast.
Yeah,
I
just think he's a dickhead because I saw a comment saying Ben Askren sucks and Jake Paul sucks. Well, at least one of them is going to get hurt, right? That's a comment that I saw written down in a tweet, and I was like, "What a prick!" He said at least one of them is going to get hurt. You know what I mean? In boxing, you can die. You know what I mean? In any kind of fight scenario, if it goes wrong, you can die. Hell, if you're Dracar Close and you get pushed at a fucking face-off, you can get hurt. We'll get into that later as well. But still, no offense, Pete Davidson. I'm sure you're very good at what you do. But stay away from the boxing world and making comments like that, because if I see you, I'll fucking slap your face.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's a comedian. He's young.
I know.
He's
and I'm being silly. And I'm being silly.
You don't even care. You don't care about either one of them. You actually agree with Pete.
I am fucking gonna slap Pete Davidson, okay, with my good eye when I see him. No, I'm half joking, but I am serious.
Of course,
no,
but that's not even on Pete. Like, it's almost the problem with the promotion, because comedians are gonna say dumb things and make jokes, and that's fine. But to put him at the commentator's table when he has no idea what he's talking about and no respect for the sport, that's one. Snoop Dogg. I mean, during the main event, his commentary, literally, he's screaming. You pull up some quotes if you can, Harrington. But at one point, he's screaming, Jake, knock him out. Knock him out. $2 million, motherfucker. $2 million. Just screaming it into the microphone during the main event. It was bizarre. It was the craziest thing I'd ever seen. And it was just like, you almost go like, okay, well, this is not, they're not even pretending to be a real fight promotion. And if I'm Jake Paul, if he really wants to be taken seriously as a boxer, he should be trying to surround himself with a legitimate promotion that's trying to make him look like a real boxer.
Yes, I agree. But also, why do people do it? They do it for money. And right now he's making a ton of money out of it. So why would he want to do that? Why would he want to go to one that, and let's be honest, the people that are watching this, they're all these YouTube fans, aren't they? And there's a lot of extra people that have been sucked into it as well. There's been a lot of promotion. There was a lot of hype, a lot of people talking about it. So I'm sure it wasn't just only his. Yeah, you bought it. Yeah, did you?
I did. I went back to
in Florida.
I didn't want to buy a fucking, have a crack stream and it's all like, it's off and it has to stop and start. I hate that shit. I we create content. I feel bad when I steal streams, and it's not like I'm against doing it. I'll do it sometimes if I'm like in the car traveling or whatever. But I just feel like we produce content. I don't want people stealing our shit. I want people to.
Well, ours is free anyway, so knock yourself out. Just make sure you share the link. Hold on, Brian. I'm assuming this is the end. Get my money. Get my motherfucking money, Jake. So who did he have a bet with? So why is Snoop Dogg making $2 million?
Because he put a $2 million bet on Jake Paul.
Did he really, though?
He sounded like he was very excited. Listen to the commentary.
I heard it. But all right, rolls the tape. Because I heard it as well.
John Pascal and get also Cruiserweight contender. Get my motherfucking money, Jake! John Pascal. And
yeah, I mean, listen, I'll be honest. If I just won a $2 million bet, hey, I'm with Snoop Dogg. I'm with, listen, if I'm commentating the biggest title fight in the world and it comes in and I've just won $2 million, right, I'm probably going to lose my air of professionalism as well. You know what I mean? I'm probably going to celebrate like that. So fair play. $2 million is a lot of money.
I don't think you would. I think you'd be very professional. You're one of the better commentators. You won't even make a pick on the fucking podcast if you're commentating the card. You're very careful with that. You're a consummate professional. I thought that production team and the fact that that highlight reel is just him screaming that over and over again. I just think it's not real. I mean, look, the whole half the show was musical guests. It was Justin Bieber performing. I think the Black Keys performed.
Can I ask a question about that? Because I saw that and I saw there was a lot of musical elements to the show, which is great. And it's been done before. Remember Affliction back in the day, they had Megadeth on, right?
Metallica, I believe it was.
Metallica. No, I think it was Megadeth, if I'm not mistaken. But still, they had a legitimate rock band on. Jake Paul, supposed to be a badass. Why is he booking Justin Bieber on? Could we not have got someone a little more edgier? Could we not have got an act that has a little bit more street cred? I mean, listen, some of Justin Bieber stuff's good. I'm not hating on the Biebs, but it is teeny boppers. Come on.
Well, I mean, you know, that's who's tuning in for this fight. I'm interested in seeing how many people actually purchase the pay-per-view, because not only that, so the other X factor here is it's a much, much younger audience that will easily find a crack stream, will easily find, an illegal pirated stream. Yeah. Like those are people that do that. They're all on, you know, websites and fucking whatever Discord is and all these things. You know, I think that they're going to do less sales than they think they're going to do.
Well, Jake Paul's claiming 1.5 million already, but, take that with a pinch of salt. But let's get into the fight then, because listen, now it seems obvious. Oh, but Ben can't box. But everybody knows Ben can't box. Ben's a fucking wrestler. Yeah, I said that, didn't I? What do you say now, Lewis? Come on. What do you say now?
What do I say now?
What do you say now?
Yeah, Ben can't box. Fine. Ben cannot box. Ben cannot. He does not know how to put his hands up. I mean, why didn't he? He didn't even try to defend himself.
He didn't even try to turn up in fucking shape. I mean, here's the thing. No. Last night, I'm talking to Callum on the phone. We're having a catch up. He's at college, obviously. And he says, oh, I feel bad for Ben. Obviously, Callum's a wrestler as well. Yeah. You know, he was probably rooting for him. He's like, I feel bad for Ben. I'm like, listen, son. I said, don't feel bad for Ben, right? He said, yeah, but the whole world's laughing at him. I said, right, okay, but put this into perspective.
We are laughing at him.
I thought it was hilarious. No. I said, listen, here's the thing. Ben, his passion, obviously, I can't pretend I know Ben particularly well. Know him a little bit, spoken to him a bit. Intelligent guy, very, very nice guy. I haven't got bad things to say about Ben. I just didn't think he'd win that fight. But the point I'm making is, I said, son, his passion was wrestling. And he took that to the fucking moon. He went to the Olympics. There's no higher honor than representing your country in the Olympics in wrestling. Then he took that ability and parlayed it into a very good MMA career. He won several belts in other promotions. Now he's retired and he's got offered a good chunk of change to go box a YouTuber. His passion is not boxing, okay? And he got knocked out. And yeah, people are going to talk a bit of shit. But guess what? At the weekend, he got UFC 261. It'll be all forgotten about. He didn't get hurt. He's going to have some money in his bank account. He lives in Wisconsin, right? $800,000 is going to go a long way in Wisconsin.
It was a half a million.
He's doing just fine.
It was $500,000, I believe.
Yeah, but he's getting pay-per-view and all that shit as well. So it'll be more.
Yeah, he said that in his post-fight interview, little scrum thing, and he was like, look, my life doesn't change. You know, whether I win or lose this, it doesn't really do anything. The money's, I get paid the money no matter what, so that's that, like, it doesn't really matter. But I do feel bad for Ben. It is embarrassing. It's very embarrassing. You know, I think that, you know, I still
get knocked
don't
out by
know.
A YouTuber. Sorry, go on.
I still don't know how to assess Jake Paul's skills.
Well, no, because he just walked through Ben. Listen, Ben can't box. You take away his wrestling, he can't box. I said that was going to happen. Now, to your defense, and Harrington, and Brian, and every one of these other UFC shills.
No, Brian picked Jake Paul, I believe.
Okay, well, not on the show. We had a little text. He said he changed his mind afterwards. But whatever, who cares?
No, I picked him on the show. I changed my mind after the show.
That was it. I knew there was some flip-flopping. No, and obviously we had Dominic Cruz, we had Felder, we had Chael Sonnen, we had Laura.
Everyone in the MMA community thought Ben was going to win.
There's two reasons for that. There's two reasons. One, because they don't want to go against Ben because they feel a debt of loyalty to him, right? You know what I'm saying? And secondly, because Jake Paul isn't an accredited boxer, right? So there's no data on him. But of course, they're going to go with their guy. They're going to go with the MMA community. But I was like, fuck the MMA community. I'll just keep it real with you. Ben Askren can't box. You take away his wrestling, he's going to get fucked.
I thought that in the 2.5 months or whatever it was, the amount of time that Ben was going to be able to put into boxing, that he was going to have a better showing for himself. You know, like he looked Harrington bad.
Yeah. Yeah, no, like, for sure. He looked bad. He looked terrible. Listen, and they say you can't judge a book by its cover, right? But that cover on Ben Askren was terrible. You know what I mean? The love handles, the belly. Listen, of course, I'm not fat shaming anybody, but you're supposed to be a professional athlete, and he clearly didn't put the work in. You know what I mean? So he's only got himself to blame. Listen, he's not bothered. It was a spectacle. It was a sideshow. It was a way to get a bit of training, get some more followers, do something in the media spotlight, and stick a bunch of cash in his back pocket. Yeah. He's not that's not his goal in life. So don't feel bad for Ben. I saw you on Twitter, Lewis, saying that the fight was stopped early.
I stand by this, and I know you're going to fucking trash me for this. Yeah, and I saw
your
response. That's
precisely what I'm going to do.
I think that Ben was up, and I know what you're saying. I saw your response, and please, you'll rebut this, but I feel like they could have let that fight go a little bit longer. And at the very least, give the crowd a little bit more. Give Jake his opportunity to really get the win and not have any questions. And give Ben the opportunity to also not have any questions about himself as well. I mean, you know, you pointed out the fact that he was wobbly, and I'll let you sort of take over from there because I didn't rewatch it after you tweeted me that. Yeah. And maybe we could watch it right now. But I just feel like he's a proven athlete, a proven combat athlete who's been in absolute wars before. Give him the opportunity to recover. He was up at the eight count. He was there. He had his hands up. You know, what else do you need?
All right. So listen, I'm like you. I want the fight to go longer. Certainly everybody that bought the pay-per-view, everyone that was there in attendance, anyone that went out of the way to watch that fight wanted to see a better fight, right? And I'm always like, oh, shit. But the referee has one job. Well, he has a few jobs, but the main one is fighter safety. Make sure the fighters go home safe with no long-lasting damage, if possible. Boxing is an unforgiving sport. It's all predominantly to the head. Of course, there's body shots, but I'd say it's 90-10% head to body, right? And people do pass away, unfortunately, late after the fight. They go to the hospital. They have problems. Now, Paul goes out there, drops Askren. It's a face plant for one, right? Knocks him out. Well, doesn't knock him out, but drops him, face plant, wait for it, boom. Look at that. I mean, that's
this is MMA, by the way. He would have followed it up and killed him.
Yeah, yeah. But look, he gets up and he's a little wobbly on his feet. He's a little stumbly. He's not, you know, falling back into the ropes. But watch the referee here. The referee, just pause it, Brian.
Yeah.
The referee, stop. Yeah. The referee says, come here, like that. The referee takes a step back and calls him to him because he wants to see how Ben fares on his feet. Yeah, okay, he had the toughness to get back to his feet. But if you're still like that, right, and then the referee says, walk to me, and he walks forward, dazed, stumbling towards the referee, that sends a message to the referee that, hold on, he has not got his wherewithal, he has not recovered from the blow, and he's about to get cracked off Jake Paul again, he's going to go back down again, and who knows, that second follow-up blow might be the one that takes years off his life or stops him being able to read the alphabet when he's 60 years old. Press play, please, Brian.
Let's see. I mean, he's in a stance. Says walk toward him.
No,
he stumbles a little.
He stumbles.
You're right.
He stumbled. And he's like, nah. And the reality is this, right? And of course, there was a lot riding on that for Jake Paul and Ben Askren. But this isn't Canelo Alvarez and Floyd Mayweather. It's not Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury going at it.
It's not the championship of the world, right?
Fucking little YouTube sideshow. And yeah, there's a lot of money on the table. There's a lot of money got into the production. But the referee's job is fighter safety, right? And it's not worth it for Ben Askren because he would have got dropped again a second later had that happened.
Do you think that maybe Ben's inexperience boxing and being in that situation, sort of looking back, maybe retroactively, Ben would probably only be able to answer this, but do you think that he may have been able to sort of compose himself a little bit more because he was just sort of like, oh, I'm up. I beat the eight count. I'm ready to go. He wasn't
stay down.
Really...
That's what people do. You see boxers do that. They go to one knee.
Oh, right.
They go to,
yeah.
They go to one knee because, you know, you got 10 seconds. You know what I mean? So take the eight. You know, you don't want to take 10. The fight will stop. You don't want to take 9. It's touch and go. You know, even 7's fucking dodgy territory. 6. Get up on 6. But stay down. Take that time. Compose yourself. Take some deep breaths. So, yeah, you're right. It is his inexperience there.
Yeah, I mean, look, here's the thing. It wasn't going to go any way differently. So I'm not complaining like late stoppage. Like it was, I'm more saying from Jake Paul's perspective, you're almost like, fuck, dude. Now people are saying it's not legit because it was an early stoppage, this, that, the other. But with what we watch, I mean, Ben was just getting battered in that. It was pretty crazy. I will give credit where credit's due. Jake Paul, he outboxed Ben Askren.
Yeah.
He outboxed Ben Askren.
Oh, no. Now that's not a big deal because it's only Ben and he's a wrestler. We weren't saying that last week. We're not saying that last week. He did outbox Ben Askren. In fact,
Ben was going to come back?
He dropped him with one shot and knocked him out. Do you know what I mean?
Did you not think Ben was going to look better at least?
I had no idea. I just didn't have confidence in him winning. I don't know. I mean, listen, here's the thing. You don't know, but like we said, we went through it all last week. You don't know, if Jake Paul has the ability to go through adversity or whatever, but you know, But there you go. Then afterwards, Paul wins. And, you know, fair play. It's a big moment for him. He's training hard. Oh,
another great moment, by the way, before you move on. They introduced Ben Askren and they got his name wrong.
Oh, I know. Ben Askew.
Ben Askew, which is Michael Buffer.
Michael Buffer, who's the brother of Bruce, obviously. And he is a very experienced ring announcer, one of the best in the business.
The most recognizable ring announcer in the world.
Let's get ready to rumble!
He got Ben Askren's name wrong. And it just sort of showed you like where their priorities lie. They didn't get fucking the TikTok girls' names wrong. They didn't get, you know...
Ben Askew. Now, what does that mean, askew? That's like, is that an insult? Askew? He's like... He went a little skew whiff, you know, he went a little bit off, a bit askew, off center, off kilter, you know. He fucking did go off kilter.
Ben Askewered.
There's Ben Askream.
Ben Askream.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, it just shows, doesn't it? I was going to say something else there then. But, Oscar De La Hoya. I didn't see this. Can we talk about this real quick as well? I heard Oscar De La Hoya was on a good one. I heard he was like, well, this isn't me. But I heard a lot of people saying he was clearly on cocaine and tequila.
Hey, sounds like a good time.
She had a wonderful time, no doubt. But was he, in your opinion, anybody, Harrington O'Brien, if you watched the whole thing, in your opinion, was he, you know, partying, shall we say, on the job?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, it was during the Frank Mir fight that it was most noticeable. You know, they actually pulled him off commentary before the main event. Like, right after that fight, he was no longer to be seen for the co-main event and the main event. I think it was largely due to that. And a lot of the talk during that whole fight was about... Oh, sorry, what were you
saying? Was he just guest commentating the Frank Mir fight, or he was on the other fight as well?
I am not sure. I just saw he was on that fight, and he was talking. They kept asking him who he was going to fight. He just kept saying big names and then threatening to fight different MMA fighters and different YouTubers. You know, and then a lot of the conversation ultimately led to whether or not this boxing analyst took a hit of the blunt. And he just kept busting his balls about it for, I don't know, 7 minutes during the Frank Mir fight. It was pretty crazy.
Brian, I'm assuming this is a clip press play. I'm very curious. I mean, so what? I mean, you know.
You looked great. You feel great. You were amazing. And guess what? Now it's my turn.
Hey, Mario, have you ever, I know, were you hanging out with Snoop? Because I see that Snoop is everywhere tonight.
Oh, you can wash your clothes on my abs right now.
I know. Hey, I was already going to do a laundry.
I was going to do a load right there.
All right, Oscar, your prediction for July 3rd. How's it going down? No matter who you pick, what's the prediction?
I don't care who it is. I don't care who it is. I will fight till the end. I will bleed till the end. And I will go down till the end.
Oh, yeah. He's having a good time.
I will go down to the end. His wife's very happy to hear about that. Leave this on. I want to see a bit of Frankie Boy. How awesome was Frank Mir last episode, by the way?
Frank was awesome. What a great guest. Very intelligent, very funny, very nice guy. And he looked good in this fight, all things considered.
Let's have a listen. Let's have a listen, because I never saw any of this. I'm intrigued.
Cunningham's physique. Look at. He looks like
bizarre.
An Adonis. He looks like
a Didonis.
He looks beautiful. He looks in shape. Yeah, look at the way he's making him a miss.
Al, I know you're a straight arrow guy, but how is it feeling high for the first time?
Well, I will say this is probably the first boxing broadcast in which I've gotten in contact.
Huh? Oscar's having a good one. Hey, fair play. He's out of camp. He's out of competition.
It's not the environment. All right, so don't even judge fucking Oscar De La Hoya. The environment that they created was an environment where they're going to invite a cooked up Oscar De La Hoya to commentate during the fight. Justin Bieber's playing. There's dancers that are doing crazy shit. It's a concert. There's YouTubers everywhere. TikTok stars. It's not like Oscar was just sort of, it was par for the course. That's what was going on. They were smoking blunts in the broadcast booth. So you can't judge Oscar for being drunk. And nobody knows if he was actually on coke.
Yeah, no. Of course. But as you say, it wasn't exactly conducive to the most professional setup. So everyone was enjoying themselves. They're having a good time. And hey, listen, sometimes, you know, that kind of chaos and madness can be enjoyable to watch for the wrong reasons. Like, kind of, you know, but Brian, so prior to the fight starting, Tyron Woodley went into Jake Paul's locker room to observe the hands being wrapped. And he got into like a bit of a testy situation. First of all, he was Jake Paul asked him to bet on the fight. He never took the bet. And then this guy in the background, Jaleon Love, I'm not sure how you say it. He's a boxer with about 30 professional fights. This is it. This is a nice
thing. I have not even seen this. Please, I want to watch it.
If you think he'll win, let's play. I know he's gonna win. That's why let's bet.
Okay, so let's make a bet. How much you putting up? We'll match it. We'll match whatever number you want.
Gentlemen's bet.
Yeah, I need to focus on the fight.
We are.
I don't play. Number one, I don't play games. That's what
sounds
I
sounds like you're playing right now.
You're playing. If you really know how to get down, you know how to play games.
Oh, you know how I really get down too.
Well, you just said your boy's gonna win, but you won't bet on it.
I was verified before fighting, so that's what y'all need to recognize.
I mean, we in the same field, baby. We do this. You know that. We in the same field, baby.
Squeeze it right here.
Tyler's getting called out there. He ain't saying shit.
I'm just saying. You ain't saying nothing but a word.
Oof. Yeah, but yeah. What is he going to do? He's surrounded by like five fucking dudes.
Yeah, you could say, listen, dipshit, you want to fight? Then, yeah, let's set it up on the next chiller. Let's go. You see, today Tyron's calling out Jake Paul pretty hard. And then I also saw, because it seems now, you know, Jake Paul, who did he fight? He beat Nate Robinson. He beat a YouTuber, KSI. I think he beat him anyway. And then he fought Nate Robinson, and then now he just beat Ben Askren. And now there's tons of fighters. Seems like everyone's coming out of the woodwork. But the one that really caught my attention yesterday is that he was calling out DC. And he said, okay, me versus you, DC, and Tyron Woodley versus Jalone Love. And I'm like, I want to call up Jake Paul real quick. He'd be like, Jake, listen. You know, you will literally end up in a fucking hospital. There is a big difference between boxing DC and boxing Ben Askren. DC just went toe-to-toe on a very, very close fight with the, I guess he's regarded as the greatest heavyweight champion that we've ever seen in the UFC. And it was pretty much a boxing fight. Okay. Mm-hmm. So please come on. And DC's never going to take that fight. He's never going to make that weight, incidentally. But Tyron Woodley, what do you think of that matchup?
Well, I don't know anything about Jaleon Love. I'm looking him up right now. 24 wins, 13 by KO, 3 losses. Look, Tyron doesn't want to box that guy. They want to do MMA. Tyron will fucking wipe the floor with him. Tyron, I know, he's called out Jake Paul. I don't know.
I know.
Yeah, Tyron should be able to smoke Jake Paul with boxing, but I'm not.
I don't know.
No, stop.
What? He doesn't fight. I'm sorry. What, with his overhand right that he throws once every 3 minutes?
Oh boy.
With his overhand
right.
You're saying
you think Jake Paul would beat Tyron Woodley in a boxing match?
I'm just saying that you can't expect Tyron Woodley, just because he's got a fucking do-rag on and a neck tattoo, that he's going to go out there and beat Jake Paul, right? I think Jake would do better. But the thing is, for Tyron, he's not going to be scared. He's not going to be bothered, and he'll probably just throw a little bit more.
You know, in the UFC, I mean, he doesn't use. Look, in MMA, it's different, right? So, but I think he could go in and box Jake Paul. His physique's crazy. He's got really good striking. He knocks people out. He's got dynamite in his hands. He should be able to knock out Jake Paul.
I'm just laughing because you said he's got a great physique. He's got nothing to do with physique,
he's
unless
got a beautiful
you're Ben
physique,
Askren. Then that's worth mentioning. If you got love handles down to your knees, you can judge a book by that cover. Anyway, I've done it. I've reached the limit. I'm at my max. I can't take any more Jake Paul talk. DC said, I mean, the way this dude talked to T-Wood makes my skin crawl. All these kids are going to get taught a lesson, I swear. And I can't wait. Jalone, you can't fight. You better respect dudes like Tyron Woodley before he puts his hands on you. He ain't Ben. Probably right. Anyway, enough. Can't do it. Can't talk it anymore. Snoop Dogg, Pete Davidson. Who else was there?
Who else was there? I don't even know.
Jay response. Okay, Fat Boys, for me versus you versus JT. Yeah, I know. Anyway, there you go. When that shit show happens, you know, we'll watch it. We'll talk about it. But until then, let's just take a second to hear from Premier Fight Picks. Now, UFC 261 going on this weekend. Most weekends, there's something you can bet on. If you're watching fights, if you like MMA, obviously you watch this podcast, you might want to sprinkle a few dollars on there. You might want to make some cash, and you might want, or you should want, some expert advice. And that is where Premier Fight Picks comes in. Premier Fight Picks is run by Bardia Helmet, and he's a top combat sports handicapper and analyst. He has a 70% winning record, publicly tracked over 2.5 years. And Bardia was spot on for the big fight this past weekend. As he had Jake Paul, so did I, to win by KO inside 2 rounds at plus 450 odds. The day before that, he gave out a hefty bet on Vadim Nemkov to beat Phil Davis in Bellator, Lewis. Yes, what do you want?
Well, I was going to say, it's even more impressive because if you look at his official prediction, he says that Jake Paul is going to drop Ben Askren coming in early and gets a TKO in round two after Ben makes a 10 count.
Yeah.
I mean, almost perfect.
You know why? Because he knows the fight business and you're a fucking fool, okay? Listen, if you want to bet on fights and you're looking for help picking the winners, then you're going to visit PremierFightPicks.com to subscribe. With UFC 261, Usman versus Masvidal 2 this weekend, it is the perfect time to sign up. Bardia is offering a special weekly subscription for only $49.99, which not only gets you all of his bets and analysis for UFC 261, but also next weekend's UFC Fight Night. His subscribers have won on the last four UFC pay-per-view events in a row, so go check him out. Listen, $49.99 might sound like a lot of money, but this guy has a proven track record of picking the winners, okay? And if you want to put your money on a loser, don't do this, okay? But if you want
to... listen to this show.
yeah. No. Listen to me. But if you want to make money, then Premier Fight Picks is the way to go because he has a historic, proven track record, Lewis, of getting these things right.
Yeah. And look, also, obviously, you want to go to PremierFightPicks.com. Go subscribe. Get that for $49.99. But also give him a follow on Instagram for his analysis, Premier Fight Picks. And on Twitter, PFP Handicapping. Let him know that the Believe in Me podcast sent you. Okay, where were we?
Let's get into some UFC stuff. Now, I want to talk about this off the top before we get into it. So Saturday night, we get to the arena. We're about to start. We're just doing a quick rehearsals for the top of the show, as you do. And like, I think the prelims are starting in like 3 minutes. And then all of a sudden, producer in our ear, co-main event's off. Jeremy Stephens versus Drekar Klaus, which, by the way, was a sensational fight. I was really, really looking forward to that one. Jeremy Stephens has been around forever, but as you know, the guy's always in a war. Yeah, he's lost a few recently, but only to top of the food chain guys. Yeah. And he's always entertaining. And Drekar Klaus, again, similar kind of style, brings it every time. So that was... that was fight of the night candidate for me.
Both very, very intense guys. And ironically, it was during that face off and that weigh in that I got really hyped for the fight because they had that, you know, fireworks moment, which we love. People get to a shoving match. They start, you know, really intensely staring at each other, whatever it is. There's that moment. You're like, oh shit, I can't wait to watch this happen. And then please.
Yeah, if you have the video, if you can find that while I talk for a second, please bring it up because it was a good, solid push. But, you know, I've talked about this a few times. You know, we have fighter meetings on the Wednesday. Hold on one sec. Let me just cue this up, though, first. We have fighter meetings, right? And when we spoke to Jeremy talked about how he's got this new approach now. And good for him. He said, I've stopped drinking. Right, completely stopped drinking, and he feels like a new person. He talked about the struggles of his mother. His mother, you know, has gone through a lot of addiction problems throughout her entire life. And it was heartbreaking to see her go through that. And his mother's in a good place and he stopped drinking. And, you know, he said, I'm very zen and peaceful in my life. And I'm a new version of Jeremy. I took a little bit of time away, you know, and I'm coming into this all nice and calm. And then he fucking squares up with Drekar Klaus and does that. And then afterwards, a reporter said to him, why did you push him? And Jeremy said, he got in my face. It's like, yeah, Jeremy, it's a face-off. That's what you do in a face-off. And by the way, I'm not hating on it because it was awesome and they do hype fights. Press play, please, Brian. And then bring up his statement as well, if we can, Harrington.
Just
play that again, just from the push. Because what happened was, hold on, it's a good, solid push. Take a look. Yeah. I mean, that was a hard push.
Yeah.
Significance of this is that, as we know, a couple of minutes before the fight prelim started, he pulled out and apparently had to go to the hospital, had nausea, vomiting, was in a bad way. And when they went there, they did a CT scan and they found a cervical sprain. So basically he had like whiplash in his neck from the push.
Wow.
And that caused the fight to be off.
Can we watch it one more time?
Of course.
Because I didn't understand why. Like, and now that you said that, like, I want to see sort of like the motion of his head.
We see his head kind of go like that a little bit.
Let's see. Let's watch it again. Wow.
It's a solid push.
So his push has the same impact as an Ngannou jab.
Yeah, pretty much. There you go. I mean, that sucks. It was disappointing. And obviously the UFC had to rally around at the last minute, find a new co-main event, restructure the order of the cards and things like that. But I don't know. What do you make of that?
Well, a lot of people are like, some people were like, oh, you know, Jeremy Stephen should be fined and should have to give Jakar Close his win bonus. And some people are like, oh, somehow Jeremy should be in trouble. It's like, well, is it against the rules to push? Is there like an on the record rule with the UFC where you cannot push somebody? Because, if they're just hyping a fight, we watched it happen a million times. There's always a couple little shoves. Everyone loves it. This has never happened before. This is a free, in the thousands and thousands of mixed martial arts fights that we've watched, we've never seen somebody pushed into the point where they couldn't compete. So it's sort of a freak accident. I don't know that I would hold it against Jeremy. Maybe, what's going to come of this is, and I wouldn't be surprised if they say, you'll be fined moving forward, or you can get in trouble moving forward if you put your hands on your opponent during that weigh-in.
Well, yeah, because obviously, oh, here we go. After I was pushed by Jeremy in a UFC face-off, I immediately felt my hand go numb and my neck tighten up. Sean Shelby and the UFC officials sent me to the PI to get worked on by the UFC PT staff for 2 hours. I spent the night eating, rehydrating, stretching, and even saw the PT staff later that night. I woke up early this morning with a migraine/headache, nausea, and the only thing that made me feel better was laying in the dark. UFC got me medicine and I rested for a couple of hours before getting up and vomiting again. It was at that point we called the UFC doctor and he made the decision to send me to the hospital. I'm sorry to everyone who was excited for this fight. I tried to do everything I could to stay in this fight, but these issues are out of my control. Yeah, what I was going to say was, I mean, I don't know. I'd have to read the UFC code of conduct. Right? There is a UFC policy. There's a code of conduct that we have to adhere to. But you see it in every fight card. And that's part of what sells the fight. The fighters get in the face. They jaw at each other. They don't necessarily get physical like that. And they do have the security guards right then and there ready to dive in. But that was a quick moment. It was just kind of a freak thing. I mean, he could push him like that probably another 50 times in different circumstances, and that you wouldn't get that same thing. It was just bad luck. I mean, and what is the recourse? I don't think Jeremy's going to get a fine or anything like that. I guess Jakar technically could go to the police and say that I was assaulted. Yeah. Wouldn't be a good look. Wouldn't recommend it for your UFC career and your badass image. It's not a good look, but I guess that would be his only recourse. It's just unfortunate.
Could you see the UFC enacting some sort of policy where you would be fined or you could be in trouble for pushing your opponent?
Well, they already do everything they can to, discourage and eliminate that kind of behavior. As I say, they say, don't get near to each other. Don't touch your opponents. Whenever I used to square with my opponent, Dan was always like, Mike, don't touch him. Don't touch them. Don't touch. Because I always had a little habit of just touching them a little bit. I always used to give them a little jab in the stomach. Just a little jab, Just to mock them and condescend them like it was my little brother. Hey, what's up? But Dennis, like, don't touch. Don't touch. So they do everything they can. But sometimes shit does happen. But
One of my favorite things back in the day, like he's an old school UFC fan, was when it might have been Chuck versus Tito 2 or 3, whichever one it was. I don't know how many times they fought. But Tito would do the thing where he circled the cage, and he would circle facing the outside of the cage. Yeah, jumping. And he would sort of like jaw at you like as he passed you, like around your side. And in one of the fights, they had like a wall of security between them. And it just looked so badass. They had to have this many guys to keep these guys off each other.
Yeah, no, they do that in big boxing fights as well. It looks awesome. You have like a row of security guards from one corner to the other. It does. It looks awesome. But yeah, man, no doubt they'll match that up again for the future because that was a good fight. Yeah, just a shame. But yeah, it is what it is. But all right, should we? Well, what else is the Harrington? Before we get into these fights, is there any topics of conversation that we are yet to discuss?
It's crazy, and we're going to talk about it on Thursday, but it's crazy that we're already at Usman versus Masvidal 2 this week. I had no idea it was even coming up this fast.
Yeah, this Saturday. 3 title fights on, solid undercard as well. It's a stacked... Oh, fans back. Can't wait for that. But we'll get into all of that on Thursday. We'll break them down on Thursday. Otherwise, we're going to have nothing to discuss then. Today's the same bit of a light week in terms of mixed martial arts news. I don't know, Harrington. It's not too bad, but what is that? I haven't got the notes in front of me right now.
Well, they're, almost every single website that I could go and check that I normally go to for news, all of it was just about Jake Paul. And there was a little bit about, obviously, this weekend's this weekend's big UFC main event. Couple interesting things, actually, from the end of last week. Amanda Nunes, she's been booked. Juliana Pena, like I said, she called Amanda Nunes fat. Now she's got a fight with Amanda Nunes. You know, it's coming on August 265. What do you think about that bout for Amanda? Does it make sense for her to keep going, you know, back down to 135 and defending that belt? Or, you know, what are your thoughts on that matchup?
Yeah, listen, you know, it's another, more than likely, another successful defense for Amanda Nunes. She's got to defend the belt. Juliana Pena, I'm not sure who, what other contenders are off the top of my head, but she's been about for a while. She's had some good wins, and she's calling out for the title fight. That's what every fighter wants, and fair play for Juliana Pena. You know, she's calling her out. And listen, Pena's tough. She's a big, strong girl. She can wrestle a bit. She's got some hands, you know. More than likely, Amanda Nunes is going to go out there and do her thing, you know. But fair play to Juliana Pena, but careful what you wish for.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, guys, let's just take a second to hear about Hemp Fusion. You know the deal by now. Hemp Fusion have the best quality CBD products on the market. It is all natural. There's no GMO. There's no chemicals. There's no nonsense. And they also do a massive variety of CBD and wellness products. They have CBD blended with ashwagandha for your stress. They have CBD blended with certain things, terpenes and all kinds of nonsense for energy. But the one I'm going to tell you about is the one that helps you sleep. Sleep Support blends 10 milligrams of CBD with terpenes, omegas, GABA, black pepper, and clove oil. And together, they unleash the entourage effect, working together to deliver powerful benefits, Lewis, that equal well-rounded sleep.
I know. I brought the Sleep Support with me on the road this weekend. I always have a hard time going to sleep when I'm not in my own bed. Took it about an hour before bed, slept like a baby, woke up feeling refreshed, nice, bright, and early. Really, really can tell you right now, firsthand experience, I love this product.
Yeah, no, listen, it's absolutely fantastic. As I say, go to the website, hempfusion.com. If you're stressed out, they can help with that. If you need energy, they can help with that. And of course, as Lewis said, the Sleep Support, it is awesome. Knocks you right out. You get a beautiful night's sleep and you wake up feeling refreshed. So that's a big one. And as I say, on the website, they got all kinds of different products. So go to that website, check it out. You will find something for everybody. And as I say, the main thing about them, not only is it high quality CBD, but it's totally natural, totally organic. And in this day and age, you want to be careful what you're putting in your body. Don't want to put any chemicals, pesticides, nastiness, right, Lewis? No nastiness. No. You don't want that. So
I was gonna say the best part, because we've been talking about how great this product is, and it is great, but because you're a listener of this show, we actually give you a pretty incredible discount.
25%. What is that? How much is that, Lewis? It's a quarter. It's a quarter
okay.
off.
I mean, okay. I was going to say you have to give me a number to give you 25%.
No, listen. It's $10, you're getting it for $7.50. If it's $100, you're getting it for $75. $50, what are you getting that for? You're getting it for $37.50. $37.50. You know, hit me with another one, baby boy. Doesn't matter. You know the math. You get a calculator on your phone anyway. Go to hempfusion.com. Use the code COUNT. 25% off your purchases of high quality CBD oil products from hempfusion.com. All right, let's get into the card. We'll just start with the main event, because I've got to say, Robert Whittaker. Oh, my God. Talk about impressive. Robert Whittaker looked absolutely sensational on Saturday night. Microphone, what's going on, Brian?
That was for Harrington.
Ah, Harrington, come on. Yeah, listen, I was expecting a tougher fight. I thought Kelvin Gastelum was going to give him a tougher go, but Robert Whittaker looked better than ever. It just shows the drive that this guy has to be the champion again, because, you know, he had his stint as champion, then he lost to Adesanya, and it could be understandable almost for him to just stick around for a bit, pick up some more paydays, but it just shows the drive and the will that he has to become the champion again. And it shows that that loss to Adesanya obviously hurts, because, as I say, best version of him we've ever seen. The footwork was absolutely fantastic. The speed, the shot selection, the awareness that he had inside the octagon, the takedowns that he hit on Gastelum, they were timed so good. There was no resistance from Kelvin, right? It's not that Kelvin couldn't resist them, but they were just timed so well and so fast, and it caught him at the perfect time when Kelvin was kind of off balance. Boom, there was no resistance. And it was just an absolute masterclass from start to finish. Now, of course, Kelvin was tough. He looked, you know, he made it a competitive fight, but it was a clear shutout from start to finish for Robert.
Yeah, it was an awesome performance by Robert Whittaker. The diversity of strikes, I think that was a big factor, because Kelvin, he looked like he just, every time he was about to get sort of catch on to what Robert was going to throw, Robert was throwing something different. And it was a different angle, and it was, it was really enjoyable to watch. That was like just a fun fight to watch start to finish. You know, Kelvin, tough as fucking nails, dude. He took, probably 5 head kicks in that fight. And he landed some big shots as well. Robert Whittaker actually looked worse at the end of the fight than Kelvin Gastelum looked. The amount of blood and the amount of bruising on him. Robert Whittaker, that was by far the best performance I think we've seen from him. And after watching that performance, I think that he will do very well against Israel Adesanya. He has to be super motivated. And I want to talk to you, obviously, we'll move into that because we're still going to talk about the fight. But his post-fight interview was really, really interesting as well, because they were asking him, they were like, do you think that you should be next for the fight or for the title, or
Marvin
Vettori? Yeah, what about Vettori? And he was like, look, I've cleared out 3 number one contenders already. I've done this 3 times at this point. And he's like, there is no other fight. And he seemed so dead set on getting that Adesanya fight, which was great, because the last time they asked him that question, he seemed a little bit more unsure.
Yeah, no, listen, and I asked him about that as well last week, but he's like, of course. And then when, who was it? Somebody asked, I think it was Laura Sanko or somebody said, and what do you want? What is the driving, motivating factor for becoming the champion again? And in his typical laid back style, he just went, the money. Because there is a big difference. You become the champ, look at Adesanya. He's buying fucking Bentleys for his parents. He's driving around in a McLaren. He's living in a fancy house in New Zealand. You know what I mean? When you're the champ, the money comes in. I'm sure Robert gets paid handsomely anyway for being a former champion, but still there is that big change. But to your point, what Robert said, yeah, there's no denying it. Listen, I like Marvin. Marvin's a great guy. He was there at the fight on Saturday night. I went over and said hi real quick. But Robert deserves it. Robert beat Gastelum there in a fucking amazing fight. Mm. The fight with Darren Till was really, really good fun to watch. And Garrett Cannonier. And he's looked so good, and he looked so compelling and so fast and so explosive. And you just want to see that fight again. Whittaker, and again, it always sounds like I'm hating on Adesanya when I say this. I'm not. Adesanya's great, right? That's not open for debate. We know he's great. He's awesome. I'm saying on that night when Whittaker fought him, he looked like garbage. It wasn't a good night for Robert Whittaker. Of course, it was a great night for Adesanya, and Adesanya generally always looks great. We're not talking about that. He is awesome. He's outstanding. He's the champion of the world. That's established. On that night, though, Whittaker looked like shit. Saturday night, granted, against a different opponent, so you could say that's part of the cause, against Kelvin Gastelum, he looked fucking amazing. And you can say, well, that's a different opponent. Well, Gastelum fucking took Adesanya to his absolute limits as well when they fought. So I just think Robert has improved. Maybe he was a little burned out back then. I don't know. Who fucking knows? You could slice it a million different ways. The fact is, he looked good. I think the next fight that they have, on whenever that gets matched up, Robert versus Adesanya will be a lot more competitive.
I think Vettori would have more of a case if Robert Whittaker didn't look so good on Saturday night. He looked like a new version of himself. He looked like somebody who could definitely, I wouldn't say definitely beat Adesanya. He looked like somebody who, without a doubt, has every tool to beat Adesanya, and being able to take down Kelvin, who technically should have the wrestling advantage. He took him down over and over and over again. That sort of pinged something in my mind. I was like, holy shit, dude, Whittaker's been working on his takedowns, and that we know that is the clear path to beating Israel Adesanya. He has trouble with guys who can take him down. He has trouble off his back. And if Robert Whittaker can put together that type of performance against Israel Adesanya, I think we could have a new champion.
I told you that Australian wrestling, they go down there, they get the balls out, they have a couple of beers in there, and they do a bit of fucking wrestling, mate.
Fucking funny. That made me laugh.
Yeah, yeah. No, listen. I was in awe. I said that to Robert afterwards when I did the interview, because I was matched up with Robert twice. One time, I was going to think, should I tell the truth? Or should I continue the lie?
Truth. Fucking go.
Boom, long time ago. What are they going to do? No, I can't.
Well, how about this? Hold on. Tell the truth. And if you feel bad about it afterwards, we'll just edit it out.
All right. I was scheduled to fight Robert Whittaker, right? And obviously the whole thing, it's a dodgy scenario. They were complicated waters that I were having to navigate to be able to fight. And the fight was scheduled, I think we were going to fight in Perth. or wherever the fuck it was. And it was the first time having a UFC event there. And I started training and we'd signed contracts and all the rest of it. In fact, no, I can't tell this story because this is the reality of why I pulled out. We got an email, right, from the UFC's doctors. And because it was the first time having an event there, I'm sitting there on my couch in front of the TV. Rebecca's cooking dinner. I was like, oh, got an email. I'm just looking at my email. And it says, because of that, when we arrive in Australia, the UFC are taking us, or the local commission are taking us to an eye doctor of their choice, and they will conduct medicals on site in Australia. And I just went, fuck! And Rebecca's like, what's up? I'm like, for fuck's sake! I'm like, how the fuck can I go down there and get tested by some random doctor? Anyway, as it happens, I have surgery on my elbow. But I was like, it was a little bit dicey. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, fuck. Because, like, it's either maybe go down there and roll the dice and never fight again, or pull out of the fight, which I'm not going to pull out of the fight. I'm not going to let people down. But
that stress has to be fucking...
That was the worst stress.
I know.
The worst. It was so bad.
I read anyway, in your book.
I had to have elbow surgery. So so that was that. But anyway, I was scheduled to fight Robert twice. And as I said to him Saturday night, yeah, that was an inspirational performance. It was fucking beautiful, man. Anybody watching, even Teddy Atlas, who's, you know, if you follow boxing, Teddy's a big authority on the sweet science. And he talked about how great he was. Also bigged me up as a commentator as well. So shout out Eddie Atlas. But yeah, man, Robert Whittaker, take a bow.
Yeah, Robert Whittaker, great performance. I'm excited to watch him fight. And, you know, Calvin Gastelum as well. You know, gutsy performance, really great performance. You know, he's sort of in a weird position now. He's got a bunch of losses that are sort of like, what's his record in the past few fights, Harrington?
Well, he won his last two. He just beat Ian Heinisch.
Then he had three in a row that he lost.
No, though, sorry. Right? Yeah, no, he didn't win his last two. Beat Ian Heinisch, and then prior to that, lost three in a row. So, yeah, no shame. Fighting the best guys in the world. You know what I mean? It's not like he got his ass kicked against Jack Hermanson. He got caught in a heel hook. Close fight with Darren Till. You know, got beat off Robert Whittaker. But, you know, honestly, I don't think anybody was beating Whittaker on Saturday night. Saturday night, Robert Whittaker, man, he was a force to reckon with on Saturday night.
He's such a nice guy, too. I listened to his post-fight press conference, and he's just such a humble, nice guy. He reminds me of you without all of the cockiness. If you weren't such a cock throughout your UFC career, you would have been just like Robert Whittaker, because all the shit he's saying, you say now that you're retired, like, you have a very similar way of sort of looking at the world, but you just didn't have that in you when you were, like, a young competitor in the UFC.
Yeah, no, because I see someone that wants to fight me, and I'm like, fuck this guy. But yeah, there you go.
Hey, Mike, really quick, we got to thank Paleo Valley for supporting today's show. What an amazing snack. I just got my new box of Paleo Valley treats. They make the best jerky on the planet. I've been eating beef jerky. Anytime I'm trying to get in shape, that's the snack that I go to. It's low in sugar, it's high in protein, great after a workout, great on the go. Usually when you buy it from a gas station or you know, a 7-Eleven or wherever, it's crap. It's full of nitrates and chemicals and all this other shit. Paleo Valley takes all that out of it and gives you the best, healthiest treat available.
So listen, if you're one of those people sitting at home and saying to yourself, what are Paleo Valley beef sticks? Well, don't worry, I have got you covered, because they are 100% grass-fed beef sticks, which are the only beef sticks in the USA made from 100% grass-fed finished beef and all organic spices. Plus, they use the old world methods of fermenting the sticks. So they are shelf stable without the use of chemicals or questionable ingredients. Like, listen, if you look at some of these ingredients, where's that one? Mechanically separated chicken. Okay, I get it, right? You want a chicken burger? You're going to smash it in. But you don't want mechanically separated chicken. Go on.
Where can we buy the robots that are mechanically separating these chickens? Because that actually seems like a pretty cool product.
I've never seen a mechanically separated chicken in my life, let alone eating one. Do you know what I mean? What the fuck is a mechanically separated chicken anyway? Sounds like a very expensive way of separating chickens. Just chop the head off.
If I had a guess, you've probably eaten a mechanically separated chicken in your life.
I probably have, but guess what? If you're eating Paleo Valley beef sticks, you ain't touching that shit.
Boom.
You ain't touching no hormones. You ain't touching no monosodium glutamate.
Boom.
There's no mechanically separated chickens. This
Boom.
Is not the future, okay? And guess what? There's no brominated vegetable oil. Does that sound like something you want to put in your body? The answer is no. What you want is quick, convenient, delicious, healthy snacks on the go. And guess what? You want it at a discount. So all you got to do is go to paleovalley.com. Use that code BELIEVE. 15. You're going to get delicious grass-fed beef, 100%. You're not going to get mechanically separated chicken, but you are going to get 15% off when you use the code BELIEVE15, paleovalley.com, BELIEVE15. That's your code to save some cash. All right.
Komen, you want to talk Komen at all? Because I thought that was a great performance by Arlovski.
Hey, listen. Arlovski joins the 20 win club, of which I am also a member. Andre Arlovski. I mean, he's crazy, man. 42 years old. That was his 53rd professional fight. I think he made his debut at UFC 28, right? Come on. Those numbers are staggering.
Yeah.
You know, and there he is taking on young up-and-comers. Like Chase Sherman's a big dude. Chase Sherman is, you know, he had a stint in the UFC before, but he's a solid fighter and he's a young guy. Before that, all right, he lost to Tom Aspinall. But the fact that he's such a legend and he's taking on these guys, you know what I mean? It just shows the kind of courage that he has and the self-belief that he has.
You said that to him in his post-fight interview as well, where you were like, you know, you're taking on these young guys, which is sort of like a lot of these older guys won't do. That's why you watch a lot of these older guys sort of fade into obscurity, because they stop winning, right? But they only want to, they hold out for these certain fights. Andre Arlovski is like, fuck it, taking on all comers. And that fight was really entertaining, dude. They were moving, this very athletic, both of them, moving around a lot. Arlovski's just always been a solid, exciting fighter every single time. We should get him on the show. I would love to get Andre Arlovski on the show. You should ask him.
Yes, but the problem with Andre is very stoic. You're right. Interview me. I'll be Andre Arlovski.
Okay. So, Andre, you just celebrated your 20th victory in the UFC Octagon. How do you feel?
Yes, feel great because I like fight. Fight is good, and I did do this for my entire life. And sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, but tonight I win.
So Chase Sherman, you know, he presented a lot of challenges for you, especially in that first round. You took a little bit of damage. He caught you a few times. Did you feel like you were hurt at all in that first round?
No.
Okay. What do you have planned? What do you have planned next? You know, maybe take a little time, celebrate with the family, or are you going to get right back into the gym?
Yes, back in gym. Seriously. Andre's awesome. I love him to bits. And I've talked about it. I couldn't be a bigger fan of the guy. But, he's a stoic fucking Russian. You know what I mean? He's not the biggest, most talkative guy. Maybe he is if, you know, you get him in a different environment. I asked him, I said, so I know you're not a vodka guy. You're going to have some whiskeys to celebrate. Because on at the fighter meetings, our producer asked him that. And he's like, no, I don't. He said, I like a few drinks. I like to relax here and there. I was like, hell yeah, come on, let's go. And then we said, what do you like to drink? He's like, not the vodka. No, I don't like vodka. I like whiskey. And which is surprising for a Russian. But there you go. All stereotypes are not true, Lewis.
If he doesn't like vodka, it's because something happened. He had a night on vodka where he doesn't want to go back there.
He got shit-faced.
Yeah, he got fucked up.
Yeah,
for years, dude. The first time I ever got actually hammered, like really, really drunk, it was on vodka OJs. I just like chugged like 10 of them in a row to try to impress a chick. And I was, I mean, alcohol poisoning. Just no,
number
everywhere.
One, that's not going to impress a chick.
No, it didn't. She left with another guy and I'm puking everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, I know. There's two guys here. There's one over there. He's successful. He's dressed nicely. He's got great manners. Oh, my God. He's a little, sweet little dancer as well. And he's paying for drinks and this and that. And then there's the other guys over there. He's throwing up. He's talking to himself.
I was 16. This is a high school party.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. But it's not attractive. No woman wants to be with someone that's blind drunk. But when I was a kid, because I get so nervous, like awkward nervousness. I'm like, let's just get drunk and I'll be good. I'll be chatty. But then I'll get chatty, but I'm talking absolute bollocks and getting into fights and all sorts. You know what I mean?
But vodka OJ, I couldn't drink vodka at all for years and years and years and years. And then also the next day, or no, this happened earlier. And the first time I ever got drunk, the next day, you know what song came out? California Love by Tupac.
Right.
And I was so hungover that the sound of that song would make me physically ill. I would get nauseous if that song would play for probably 10 years of my life.
Yeah, I had Callum on the phone a few weeks ago. And obviously he's at college. And he's not a drinker. He's a sensible kid. He's 20 years old. You know what I mean? But he was like, oh, my God, Dad. I said, what? He said, yesterday was not a good day. I said, oh, what's up, son? I'm all concerned. He's like, yeah, no. I got drunk at the weekend. And it was his first hangover, his first real hangover experience.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, oh, they suck, don't they? Because I tell you, being hungover is one of the worst feelings in the world. That's part of the reason why I don't, you know, I drink a little bit, but I don't drink a lot, not like I used to, because I just can't take them. And the hangovers would last 2 or 3 days. You know what I mean? They would literally last 2 or 3 days. I'm like, I can't do this. It is not worth it.
That's how I feel about cocaine. Because if I do cocaine, I am up for like, it's that whole night, all throughout the night, go to bed the next morning, then the whole next 2 days, you feel like shit. You got a headache.
I remember the first time I got hungover. Yeah, the next day I was laid on the floor all day thinking, what is this feeling? Anyway, there you go. There you go. So, Brian, we're going to get into UFC 261 on Thursday. We'll get a relevant guest on and we'll break down all those fights. We'll talk about the excitement, talk about the crowd being back. I'm excited for that. But in fact, Harrington, there's something going on with Conor McGregor, isn't there? What's he going back and forth with Jeff Nowitzki about?
Oh, can I also say, before you do that, we should say Conor McGregor was acquitted of all charges. He was cleared of all of those charges. If we're going to report on him being charged with shit, fuck it. We should report on it when he gets cleared of it as well. So good for him.
Yeah, no, good for him. This is the one in Corsica where apparently he flashed himself or something like that. So, yeah, fair play. Go on, Harrington. Give us the lowdown.
Yeah, so just to clear that up, he wasn't acquitted or anything. They just decided they weren't going to press charges against him. So he never actually had any legal trouble, just got brought in for questioning. So this thing with McGregor here, he expressed frustration with USADA on Twitter. You know, he said, USADA tested me right before this, blood and urine. That's twice this week. I don't blame them. I'm an animal. What irks me, though, is there's never an announcement of athletes caught anymore. This means, one, they can keep it quiet, and two, the tainted supplement bullshit excuses are accepted. Then he went on to just ask Jeff Nowitzki, hey, Jeff, how come public isn't told about positive tests anymore? How, after Nate Diaz's steroid debacle, where he produced his own nutrition company's tainted multivitamin, it was instantly clear prior to a mega money fight, are we now in the dark on test results? What McGregor is talking about there is in relation to, they came out with that policy a few years ago. I don't know if you remember that they weren't going to announce fighters testing positive until after the appeal had already like been decided and everything. So when a fighter pops now, McGregor is right. We are 100% in the dark. That's why you'll see guys pulling out of fights left and right with random injury or no excuses made for why they pulled out.
I didn't ask you to break it all down and just let the cat out of the bag, Harrington. I asked you to fucking tee me up so I can fucking sound smart and say, here's the answer. You know what I mean? Essentially, now we have nothing to talk about. Because what do I do? Repeat what you said? So you ask the question and you answer at the same time. Nice work. Great podcasting. Great podcasting.
I'm going to end it with a question. Do you think, now we've been in this policy now for about 18 months, do you agree with McGregor? Is it insane that they're no longer announcing these positive tests here? Or do you think it's been good for the brand to, you know, keep this under wraps until things are decided?
Well, it's not about being good for the brand. It's about what's right for the fighter. You know, and then sometimes you do see, you know, because the USADA testing thresholds, if you say, they test to like some crazy, crazy amounts. So you just got to have like trace elements of certain things and certain over-the-counter products, which is true. It does sound like bullshit. And I was always one of those guys that say, bullshit, no, where the smoke, there's fire and all the rest of it. But after speaking with Jeff Nowitzki on the road a few times here and there, sharing a beer and just chatting about it, you know, and hearing it from him, and, you know, he's a respectable guy that knows this field. He knows this area like nobody else. And he says, no, listen, here's the, you know, sometimes it does go down like that. Sometimes, you know, like you have like a supplement brand, but they don't have their own factories. They're made at a factory, right? And they'll run it down the production line and then they switch to a different product. That's for a different company, but they don't necessarily clean the instruments. And so you might get a little bit of trace, a tiny little bit of powder on the machine that's then doing another product. So you get a little tiny, tiny bit of cross-contamination. And Jeff Nowitzki was saying, sometimes it's as simple as that. A tiny little bit can cause the cross-contamination. So it does happen, you know, and I was always one that said, yeah, bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. But what they're doing is now, obviously, because people come out, if they just announce it straight away, listen, you failed your test, the court of public opinion, you know, they are judge, jury, and executioner. So the fighter in question doesn't get the right of passage. They don't get a chance to defend themselves. And then you sort of look at it and they go, oh, shit, you're right. You never did that. Nobody needs to know. So that's what Conor's talking about. But that's also the reason why they do that.
Yeah, I think that, I think we are in a society where typically people are guilty until proven innocent, where you should be innocent until proven guilty, right? And I think that this is a little bit more of traditional, you know, a traditional way to look at things, where it's like, yeah, let them do an investigation, make sure that this person is actually guilty before you go and announce something, before you have people. I mean, dude, troll culture exists. Some people, look, somebody like you who's been dealing with it for years, you let it, you know, roll off your back, right? But you get a young UFC fighter, now he's got, you know, 100 people DMing him, calling him a cheater, telling him they hope he dies, this, that, the other. You know, that's a lot of other pressure for people to deal with. So I say let him figure it out and actually find out that somebody's truly guilty before we throw that out to the public.
Well, Saturday night, we had Jessica Penne fighting. I think she was on before the co-main event or the fight before that. Jessica Penne, the last time she fought was 4 years ago, right? And that was all to do with the thing with USADA. I don't know the exact ins and outs, but I know that there was, you know, an accusation of steroid use or tainted supplement use or performance-enhancing drug use, whichever term you want to use. So she was pulled from competition, and then throughout the entire process, which took 4 years, and then at the end of those 4 years, they determined, yeah, no, sorry, we fucked up. You're good. You're fine. Huh. But she still lost 4 years of her life. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe the best years of her life.
100%. She's 38 years old.
You know, the best years of her life were probably 5 years before that.
I'm telling you, for a female athlete, 38 to 42, you know, don't worry, Jessica, you got the best years coming. No. And I said, and I'm serious, if I was Jessica Penne, if I could find a lawyer to take it on no win, no fee, I'd go after USADA. Because I'd say, you owe me 4 years of earnings. You owe me 4 years of potential title money, whatever it is. There's a lot of earning potential in when you're a professional athlete. And that was taken away through no fault of her own. And it's not that USADA was trying to persecute her. They're trying to clear up the sport. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there that say, oh, there shouldn't be any testing. Just let everyone take steroids. Luke Thomas says that. He's a big advocate of that. A lot of people think, oh, just let everyone take whatever they want and then just let them compete. Well, that's stupid. That is absolutely insane.
Well, why? Go further on that. I mean, I don't agree necessarily, but I do understand the train of thought where you're saying, look, if it's just all fair and you want to put whatever you want in your body, I've always said that they should just create a super steroid league where you can just take steroids. It's not the UFC, but we just watch jacked up athletes beat the shit out of each other.
Number one, because you want the sport to be sanctioned and you want it to get bigger and bigger and be successful and all the rest of it. If the steroids are involved, people are going to get hurt. People are potentially going to die. Look at me. I fought a guy on steroids and now I have a fucking wonky eye. You know what I mean? And that was from Vitor Belfort. The reality is because that the reason I say that's stupid is because it goes against the very essence of sports, right? Sports is supposed to be about human excellence, how far you can push the physical body in terms of preparation and mental preparation and mindset and drive and ability and sacrifices you're willing to make, not who's got the best doctor, who has the best resources, who could afford more money for the best drugs. Now, of course, just because you take steroids doesn't mean that you're going to be a champion. Just because you see these big bodybuilders that are no doubt on all kinds of supplements and steroids, just because you take them doesn't mean you're going to get big. You're still going to work your ass off, but that's definitely going to help. If you're putting in the work and you're taking all the steroids, this definitely going to help. People are going to die. People are going to get hurt. And as I say, it just goes against the very fucking essence of sports. It's supposed to be that man against that man, who can train the best, who's willing to push themselves the furthest, and who's going to show up on the night and do the better job. And steroids goes against all of that. And it's a well-known fact. It's one word. I'll put it all down to one word. It's fucking cheating, Lewis.
Do you remember how big of a deal it was with Lance Armstrong, who was riding a fucking bike?
Never to me. He's riding a fucking bike. Couldn't care less.
It was like international news that he was cheating and people could not let this go. And with mixed martial arts and combat sports, we just seem to turn a blind eye to it.
Well, we don't turn a blind eye to it. And absolutely, you know, what
the public does. The public does. If somebody gets caught for cheating, they use steroids, and it's confirmed, and they come back 2 years later or a year later. It's not like anybody in the mixed martial arts community really cares. I don't see anybody saying, fuck that guy. I will never root for him again. How dare he? He's a cheat. It's just MMA fans just aren't. They're very fair weather.
Yeah, but it's look at TJ Dillashaw. He did his 2 years. And what are they going to do? What are they going to achieve?
One fight away from a title shot.
Yeah, but there's nothing they can do about it, is there? They're going to go, no. I'm not buying that fight. I'm just saying,
compare it. It tanked Lance Armstrong. I don't think he ever did. He ever compete again, Harrington? I have no idea.
Yeah. I don't know too much about.
And the same thing in baseball. It went to fucking like Congress or whatever when there was the steroid allegations in baseball and with the WWF back in the day and all these other things. It's a big deal, but in mixed martial arts, for some reason, it just doesn't stick.
Well, I'll tell you what, it sticks a hell of a lot more compared to boxing. In boxing, people test positive all the time, and it doesn't even make headlines hardly. Mm. It just gets swept under the carpet. The fight gets delayed by a few months, and it's business as usual. It is pretty crazy. Anyway, there you go. Brian, and thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You've been sending in your questions to bympod@gmail.com. Keep them coming. Send us in some video questions, and we'll answer them on here. And we have a few to go at today. So, Brian.
Well, before you do that, let me just do plugs real quick. And then, we'll do that real quick. If you love the show, go to our iTunes. Leave us a 5-star rating, positive review. We love the great reviews. You can subscribe anywhere you get podcasts. That means Google Play, Stitcher, fucking Pandora, Spotify, obviously iTunes, obviously YouTube as well. Yeah, go to our YouTube channel, subscribe there, hit the notification button. And if you guys want access to every show that we've ever done, they're all available ad-free, uncensored, in one place. Go to gasdigitalnetwork.com. You get the entire on-demand library. Use the promo code BYM. Get a 7-day free trial. Sweet. Oh, yeah. Cleveland coming up the 29th at the end of the month. lewisofskanks.com.
Also, big announcement coming out in the press this week. We got the Sun newspaper. We got the Mail on Sunday. We got. I'm doing a bunch of interviews tomorrow. As we know, we'll talk about this on another show. But me and Lewis will be coming. We've got my what is it called? Michael Bisping Tales from the Octagon coming your way soon. Coming to London, Dublin, Glasgow, and Manchester. But still, Brian, what have we got? 5 questions, you say? Let's hear them.
It seems like it's more like 4, but.
Good.
This one's from Roland from Germany.
Roland
from the Germany.
Hello, doggy world. This is Roland Wixer from Germany. Mike, I need to apologize for showing you my tongue last time and doing dirty, dirty stuff with it. I'm sorry. It won't happen again. My question. Light heavyweight Jan beat middleweight easy. And most people said that Jan was just too big. So does that also mean that a super heavyweight would beat the heavyweight champion of the world? Because he could simply take the heavyweight champion of the world down and keep him there, just like Jan did to Izzy in rounds 4 and 5.
It's a very seductive style of questioning. You know, if I was a cop, if I'd been arrested and the cop came in and he was talking to me like this, so you were there on the scene of the crime, weren't you, Michael? I think I'd get an erection. I'm like, are you trying to seduce me, officer? Because it's working.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm starting to not like Roland. I liked him for a long time, and he's turned a corner with me. Now it's just weird. It's a little creepy.
It's too much?
A little bit too much, Roland.
Roland Wixer?
Yeah, Roland Wixer. No,
do we actually believe that that's his accent, or is he putting it on? What do we
No,
think?
I think it's his accent.
Yeah. All right, Roland, the reality
the question
is,
was stupid, though.
The question was boring. I don't even want to get into it.
It's a bad question.
It's a shit question. Listen, some bigger people will beat smaller people. Some smaller people will beat a bigger person. Dominic Cruz will never beat me, though. That's a fact. Next question. What have we got, Bri? But thank you, Roland. Keep them coming.
All right, so this time we got a question from Dan from Slovakia.
What's up, Dan from Slovakia?
Hey guys, a big supporter from Slovakia, maybe the only supporter in Slovakia. And maybe my first question could be if you know where Slovakia is. Probably not, so let's move on to the next question, which is for Lewis, but Michael Bisping can chime in as well with his MMA knowledge. And the question is, Lewis, what do you think is the best UFC female fighter you could beat, and tell us how you think the fight would play out. And the last question is, who has the better hair, Brian or me? Thank you, guys.
This guy's got great hair.
Listen, who is this guy? What is his name? Is Andy from Slovakia?
Dan from Slovakia.
Dan from Slovakia. I also have family in Slovakia, so I know where this is. Please, anybody else asking questions, you have Shut the fuck up. You have to talk faster because Dan or Andy or whatever your name is.
Dandy,
you talk too slow. Okay, Louis, who is one female fighter that you could beat?
We get this question a lot. It's stupid. Bisping, let me ask you a question.
Go ahead. Fuck Slovakia. Listen, what are you talking about? I'm thinking Slovakia, Uganda, they meet up. All of a sudden, we've got two extra listeners. Listen, Andy, Dandy, Andy, Pandy, whatever your fucking name is. If you're the only listener in Slovakia, it is up to you. You need to show us proof that you now have 15, 20, 30 subscribers from Slovakia. You get a free piece of merchandise because we got the Believe You Me merchandise will be ready on sale very, very soon. You do that, Dandy Pandy, and yes, we'll send some little souvenirs for you. But Louis, what is the question, please?
Yeah, I mean, who do you do you think there's a 115-pound female fighter on the roster that I can go and beat up? Mixed martial arts rules.
You could beat up.
That I could beat up. Because I can be honest with you, I think there are. I'm a big guy.
I think there is as well. I do. All right.
I'm a big guy. I'm just saying, how could she get me down? What could she possibly do to me? They're little tiny girls.
I mean, you couldn't beat them all, but I reckon.
No, I don't think I can beat them all, but I think there's a lot of them outside of the top 10 that I could probably whoop.
Yeah, I'll say this. Hold on. Let's have that is not a good webpage.
Because you know better. I don't know anything. You know better than me. You can look at it from an honest perspective of somebody who's fought professionally.
Well, the champion is Zhang Weili, right?
Yeah, she fucked me up. But I would, because I'd be fighting communism, I think I'd have a shot.
Did we talk about this in the last show?
We did, yeah.
Okay, so we won't get into it again. Stupid comments. All right. Felice Herrig is number 15. You reckon you could take Felice Herrig?
I think I'd let her take me. She's so hot.
She's got a very, very popular OnlyFans page, from what I'm led to believe. That's what the Saturday night I was talking about this. Talking to Laura Sanko. We just got talking about OnlyFans. And she said, Jessica Evil Eye, guess how much she's making on her OnlyFans? And if you go Jessica's OnlyFans, guess how much she charges per month for access to her photos? $30 a month. $30 a month to look at pictures of Jessica Eye.
You can Cash Me Outside Girl only charges $25.
You can fucking download Netflix for $7.99 a month or whatever it is. You get movies, Hollywood documentaries, all kinds of stuff. But Jessica Eye, $30, you get pictures. Felice Herrig, Amanda Lemos, she's 14. You tell me, Louis. Verna Janderoba, I reckon she'd fuck you up.
Damn, yo. Felice Herrig's so hot.
Angela Hill. Yeah, anyway.
Look, a lot of these girls will fuck me up. But I'm just saying, bring it. I'm just looking for Felice Herrig's OnlyFans right now. I apologize.
Well, take a look and tell me how much does she charge.
I'm looking for it and I can't find it. Harrington sent me a fucking link.
On another note, as well on the OnlyFans thing, apparently Brittany Palmer makes an absolute fortune, and all she posted on her OnlyFans is pictures of her feet.
Not naked?
I don't know about that, maybe, but I think it should
actually be a crime for a girl to have an OnlyFans and not be naked. She should be arrested.
Apparently, it's pictures of her feet only, and she's making an absolute fortune. And I mentioned this yesterday. I went for lunch with my wife and my kids and stuff. And I mentioned that, and my wife chatted and said, yeah, some men, a lot of weird men. I don't think women like pictures of feet, but a lot of men, I don't know. I don't get it. This foot fetish. I mean, Louis, feet?
Well, look.
Be honest. Do you see a woman's feet and be like, ooh.
My chick has hot, tiny little feet. So yeah, I like, I'm, but no, I'm not, a, I don't see a girl's feet. I'm like, ooh, yeah. But, you know, I do, I understand it more now as I've gotten older. I understand it way more than I did when I was younger. Before it was a big dumb toe. but
as you got more perverted in your older age, Brian, yeah. What do you say about this whole foot fetish?
Not into it.
No.
At all.
No.
Harrington, you look, Harrington, you look like a toe. How do you feel about this foot fetish?
All right. Well, that's just hurtful. No, it's not my thing, dude. I did read something that people who were held a lot as children, like to a mother's breast, become boob men, and guys who like weren't held affectionately a lot as kids and were just crawling around by feet are into feet as adults. I don't know.
That's stupid. It would have made more sense if you said if they were raised on breast milk a lot, they're boob men, and if they had the shit kicked out of them, then they like feet because they got kicked in the face.
Well, but, my mom used to poop on me, so maybe that's why I like butts.
A little bit of scat. All right. What else we got, Brian?
You can't hear me. Oh, we got one more here from Eric Ether. He sent in the weird video from the shower.
Looks like Bert Kreischer.
Yo, boys, what up, what up? It's Eric again from Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada, with another video question for you guys, since the reaction on the last one seemed to be pretty decent. And I got to be honest, I was pretty sad after hearing last week that you guys didn't get a single video question. You know, like, where are the believers? Where are they? They just don't care. They don't fucking care. They don't care about your fucking podcast. Some fucking following you've got there, mate. They don't fucking care. Sorry about that. So anyways, Mr. Bisping, I've heard this question come up to other fighters in the past, and I've always been kind of curious. What, when you were competing, what was your go-to meal, either post-weigh-in or post-fight? I want to know what you gorged yourself on as a reward for the weeks of preparation and sacrifice. The post-fight one was probably different than the post-weigh-in one. So, I want to know that. And for Lewis, my friend, doggy, I am gifting you this question, okay? I am giving you this question to start asking to fighters you have on the show because you're – world championship or world peace question? Like, what are you, a fucking panelist at a beauty pageant? It's embarrassing, doggy. It's time to change it up. Okay? So that is my gift to you. Happy belated birthday. You're looking fat as fuck since you got back from Jamaica. Brian, I left my address in the email, so I'll be expecting those sanitable gloves post-haste. And that's it. That's it. Team Rattle Count forever, baby. Okay, bye.
I like Team Rattle Count. Can I hold on before you even chime in there? The question that he asked you, because he's shitting on my question.
Boring.
It's boring. It's been asked. He even said it's been asked a million times. You've answered this question on this show. I've heard 1,000 times.
Okay. You're disrespecting the believers. You've heard the answer 1,000 times. Post fight.
Oh, post fight. Post weigh-in. I know the post weigh-in food.
Yeah, he also said post-fight, though.
Some pizza, some pasta.
Post-fight.
Some what pasta.
What is it going pasta. To? Pasta. Yeah, I don't say pasta. I'm not a fucking...
Pasta.
Pasta. No, come on. Post-fight. Come on, big shot.
Post-fight? Maybe a burger, a beer. Maybe a little glass of Pinot Grigio.
Yeah, there ain't no post-fight meal. Simple as that. It's post-fight partying. Let's go, drinking. Baby.
Every time. Win or lose. I know.
I've lied to journalists and gone like, yeah, you know, so afterwards go get a nice steak or whatever. No, there's none of that. I mean, I have done that before. I have gone to a restaurant on occasion, but most of the time it's like, all right, let's do this. Let's go have fun. Because it's late at night. Everything's shut. You know what I mean? If there's some food in the arena, I'll snag a little bit and eat a bit of whatever. But it's let's go and have some fun. We're celebrating. We won. I'll eat tomorrow. Pre-fight. Go on then, Lewis. You heard this 1,000 times. What's the pre-fight meal?
After your weigh-in, you'll go get some pizza or some pasta.
Italian.
Yeah. Pizza or pasta.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's not only pizza and pasta. I'll have some Italian. I'll have some legumes, perhaps a little bit of salad. Do you know what I mean? I'll mix things up. You know, maybe a bit of risotto.
I'm trying to pay attention, but I'm looking at Felice Herrig's OnlyFans right now. I'm a subscriber.
How much? Have you subscribed?
$9.99, baby boy.
Ooh. Per month?
Per month. And she's very focused on feet. That's a big part of it.
Oh, my God. Are you actually going to subscribe?
I am subscribed. I'm looking at her, her art. This is artistic.
Is there any ass pics?
Yes.
A lot?
I'll send you my password.
ratio of foot to ass pics, please.
There's a couple with both. I gotta be honest with you.
Flexible girl. All right, guys.
Shout out to Felice Herrig. Go, you know what? Go subscribe to Felice Herrig's OnlyFans and let her know that the Believe You Me podcast sent you there.
Yeah, please do let her know. Exactly. Maybe we get a little kickback. But all right, guys, that's the show. Gonna break down UFC 261 in style on Thursday. We'll have a good guest lined up for then as well. Don't know who, but we'll figure it out in the meantime. But until then, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends about the show, and we'll be back on Thursday. Take care.